Hello and welcome to the Cognito podcast from Moore Barlow. Moore Barlow is a law firm focused on helping entrepreneurs and leaders of businesses and organisations and private individuals and families through the opportunities, challenges and sometimes life-altering circumstances that may come your way. In Cognito, the podcast, we'll be holding conversations with experts from a range of fields, but all with a focus on what success means, and once you achieve it, what are the smartest moves you can make to stay ahead of the game? We'll dig into subjects ranging from energy-boosting nutrition, growing a business sustainably, and in this episode, we're discussing exit strategies. I'm your host, Zoe Hansen, and joining me today to discuss how to sell a business in these very strange times is Jonathan Dunn, CEO of BCMS, a leading M&A advisor. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast, Jonathan. Can you tell us what it is you do, what sort of businesses you work with?
Yeah, by all means, and thank you for having me. So BCMS, as you say, is an M&A advisor. What does that actually mean? It stands for mergers and acquisitions. But what we do is we advise private companies up to and including a sale of their company. So our clients will typically be business owners who've had a business for quite a while and want to sell it. So our job is to find buyers for that business and to get the best possible price and deal terms. That's what BCMS does.
And there's no sort of estate agent's window to look in for this kind of thing, is there?
Absolutely not. If you owned a business, would you want to be in an estate agent's window? So, no, it's all, obviously, you've got to keep these things really quite confidential. And if we didn't, we wouldn't have a business. So you can draw an analogy so far when it comes to estate agency. We are looking for buyers, for sellers. So it goes that far. And we are looking to maximise the price and get as many people interested in the business as possible. So you asked me what sort of clients we typically work with. These are businesses that will, as I said, be quite well established typically. And in value terms, our businesses tend to be worth sort of £10 million upwards. So people make a life-changing sum of money when they go through the sort of transactions we help them with.
This episode is all about how to sell a business sort of right now. Where do you start with something like that?
Well, as you can imagine, the fundamentals actually haven't changed. You've got to be able to present a compelling business opportunity to the buyers. And so all the things that create what a good business opportunity is hasn't changed at all. And I can come on to this, but what has changed is the way that you position things, the way you help buyers understand what your business really is in today's world and what it can be in the future as well. Because, I mean, a lot of buyers, understandably, are thinking, well, what does this business look like in 3 years' time? Because we're going through all of this turmoil at the moment. Help me understand that. Help me imagine that. And so our job in particular is to present businesses with those fundamentals in today's world and give the buyers confidence that actually these are businesses that can survive, they have survived, and they can thrive in the future as well.
So you talk about the turmoil. What are the key points that we need to consider when thinking about exiting, selling a business?
Yeah, so there's a number of dimensions to a business, right? You've got the financial dimensions to it. You've got the market dimensions to it, so what's happening in its market. And don't forget, you've got a personal dimension to it as well.
Of course.
There's a business owner here behind every business that they themselves, he or she, is also going through this period.
Of course. And they've got an emotional attachment, haven't
they? Exactly, yeah. And so think of it as a kind of three-dimensional thing that you need to present and optimise the outcome. So financially, you've got to hopefully, you know, present a business that has some really strong performance, some strong trading, and a business that knows where it's going and, you know, can present that in a financial way that gives confidence to the buyer that whatever price they're going to pay, they can make their return on it,
yeah,
which is what buying businesses is all about, obviously.
Can you give us an example of a success story? So there's a business owner or a business leader that comes to you thinking that they want to exit. The first sort of story that comes to your mind.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll give you an example of one of our most recent deals. So there aren't many deals I can talk about in terms of how much they sold for, because it's very often an embarrassment to the clients, frankly.
Okay.
But this client sold to a publicly listed company, so it's out there. So we sold this client for £80 million.
Wow.
Absolutely wonderful business that we'd got a long way down towards a sale in December 19.
Mm-hmm.
So we were almost, well, probably 2 months away from getting that deal
done.
Okay,
and we know what's coming,
and
right?
They, a lot of their business then was in China, and they were actually the first client that we thought, oh gosh, this sounds ominous.
Okay.
And so needless to say, the buyer, quite rightly, quite obviously, said, look, I'm not in a position to do this right now. I need to understand what effect this is going to have on this business and the rest of it. So we sort of just called time on that. But what the client did after that was just phenomenal, because not only did they have the difficulty of getting everything out of China, they deployed it elsewhere.
Sure.
And they created a completely different service level, a service stream, if you will, for what they were doing. So this business was in instruments, really clever, scientific British business that made instruments to measure geological qualities in the rock under the sea. And they decided, again, on the strength of what this buyer said he was going to do with the business, they thought, well, if he's not going to be around in the next couple of years, why don't we do it anyway? So they decided to get into a different market. So they went into mining as well as oil and gas. And they started to engage with that market in a completely different way. And 2 years on, they rebalanced their business. And it was actually a pretty different business to present to the market 2 years on, because they've got this kind of recurring nature to the business. Buyers love that. So when we went back to the market, we ended up getting a deal that was almost twice as valuable for this client.
Wow.
And they really created a whole load of value and realised it 2 years on. So for some, it was an opportunity. And although, you know, like a lot in life, out of apparent failure comes this enormous upside.
Is right now the time to be selling a business? We've just come out of a pandemic. We have a new monarch. We have all sorts of economic rumblings going on. Recession. What would you say?
It's a really, really good question. And I think anybody listening to this who runs a business would be asking that question.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned about these kind of dimensions to a sale, right? So maybe in one dimension, maybe the financial dimension, you may be thinking, okay, well, look, I was doing this much profit 3 years ago. I'm now only doing 50%, 60% of that. Is now a good time? Well, in isolation, you'd say, well, not if you want to maximise the value, if you can get it back to where it was. Of course, it's not the right time.
Right.
But at a personal level, is now the right time? Well, you're 2 years on.
Yeah.
You're 2 years older, blooming wiser. And you're probably, it's probably taken quite a lot out of you to run and survive in the business world over that period of time. And therefore, your compulsion to actually do whatever you were planning on doing after sale is probably heightened, actually. So in those terms, absolutely it's the right thing to do, because you only get one life.
Yeah, right? Of course,
and so
of course.
Why would you, you know, sort of hold out for another 3 or 5 years, whatever's going to take you, unless that makes sense to you?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a straightforward answer to that question, simply because there's so many reasons for sale that aren't purely financial.
Yeah.
Probably, I don't have the empirical evidence for this, but certainly in our experience, last year was a bumper year for us.
Wow.
Okay, so like, I suppose, you know, where there's change, there's opportunity, and you see that in the M&A market typically. But if you're purely looking on maximising price and you've had a business that's doing half of what it did 3 years ago, and all other things being equal, probably now is not the best time to sell it, if that's all you want to do.
Is there an industry which is sort of ripe for sale at the moment? Is there some, is there you know, lots of these businesses coming onto the market.
Yeah, and if you want an idea as to kind of, you know, where the activity is going to be in the future,
yeah,
look at where private equity is investing now.
Okay.
Okay, so if you go back 5 years, where was private equity investing? Because they're the businesses right now that are coming up for some sort of sale event, because that's the way private equity works. And so renewables, yep, is really active. I mean, healthcare is just off the scale.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. We've got some projects in there at the moment. They're still going through, so I can't be specific about them. But the prices that are being paid for healthcare service type businesses or technology businesses, because that market is just so buoyant and so hugely in need of innovation and investment, the M&A market per se is just booming, absolutely booming. So that translates into the prices you get for the businesses, how quickly you can do them, how many buyers you get interested. And, you know, going back to estate agency, you're going to get a better price for your house if you've got more than one person interested.
Of course.
And so it absolutely plays out the same in business world. You know, if you can, and our role is to create as much competition as we possibly can for businesses so that ultimately the owners get a choice of where they want to sell it and who ticks the most boxes. And it's not always about price either, just to put that out there. You know, some owners and a lot of business owners actually feel a real loyalty and a real sense of duty to the staff, and the last thing they want to do is to sell, even if it's the highest bidder, to sell to a buyer who they just know is going to strip the heart out of the business and stuff, yeah, like that. You know, so you actually see in our world quite a lot of buyers not going for the highest price because they prefer the buyer that's going to take this business and do something with it.
Okay, I'm a business owner. I want to sell my business. Where do you start? Where do you go to get advice? Is it an investment banker? Is it a broker? Is it, where do you go? What do you do?
Well, I'll tell you what, there is a huge amount of options and choice out there. And ultimately, it's a decision you've got to make on your gut to go with the people you think you can best work with. Because let me say, this is a long-term project.
Yes.
Right? You don't do this in 2 months.
Okay.
You have to choose an advisor who is going to take you through the preparatory phase, and we can touch on that in a mo. And then it's the marketing phase, and then it's the negotiations, and it's, you know, it's often up to a year.
Oh, really?
From start to finish, possibly even longer. Like that client I mentioned, you know, December 19 had already been a client of ours for a year.
Right.
And here we are only selling it 4 years later because okay. of the pandemic and the rest of it. Gosh, you get on the Christmas card list of these people, you know, you become really good mates, really good friends. And so and maybe this is because of where we focus our entrepreneurial client base. It's really important to us that we feel we can get a really good relationship with those people, that they're open to taking advice. You yeah. know, this is a specialist subject.
So if a business comes to you and they want to sell, what sort of preparation has to happen?
There's those things you need to do to make the transaction as easy as possible for everybody. Yep. That's housekeeping stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, that's knowing where all your stuff is that you can present to the buyer and say, there it is.
Yeah.
Instead of taking weeks to find stuff and what have you. So there's that preparatory element, making it easy, making the company buyable. That really is about what should you do to prepare to make it as attractive as possible.
Okay.
And what really do you need to put right? And these things might take much longer than a year.
Uh-huh. Well, even just doing that stage.
Yeah. So if you run a business and you've only got three clients and one of them accounts for 80% of your revenue,
yeah,
it's obvious a buyer's going to have a bit of an issue with that.
Okay. Right?
And so if you can think about sale way ahead of when you really, you know, want to bank the cash, do something about making this business viable, namely not too risky. So a lot of the preparatory phase is about taking risk out of the whole deal for everybody. And so getting more customers, less reliant. If you're particularly reliant on a particular supplier and you can't find it anywhere else, you know, that's a risk.
Yeah.
So is there anything you can do about that? It's not always fixable, but is there anything you can do about that? Look at your team, your people. Yeah. If somebody's going to write you a check for 10 million quid, they're probably reasonably going to say, well, I'm not sure I can expect everything I need from you.
Well, I think if they were going to do that, I'd think they were completely mad anyway.
But they're going to want to look at your team and say, look, will this business run? once you've left and what sort of, you know, talent have you got?
Yes.
And are they the people that we can really sort of incentivize to move this business on in the way that we want to move it on? If you've not done anything to make this business less reliant on you,
yeah,
that's another risk, right? So much of what we do when we assess businesses, often before we actually take them on as clients, is all about, okay, how do we make this business more viable, more valuable? So what can you do to also improve the performance of the business and that sort of thing? And then equally important, does the owner know what he's going to do afterwards?
Okay.
Yeah. Because if that question isn't going to be answered in any particularly confident way, that gives us a worry. Because what we find is that these businesses are typically extensions of the personality of the individual behind them.
Okay.
And they actually take on, within this person's mentality, they are an extension of themselves, you know.
Yeah.
So if you take that away, if somebody else owns that bit of you, what are you now? And
okay,
we learned the hard way here. We know there were some, way back when there were some clients who sort of got to the altar, got to the bottom of the mountain or whatever, and decided they didn't want to do it because they hadn't thought through, well, what am I tomorrow? Or
yes,
what am I in 6 months' time?
Because they've lost their identity,
exactly,
I suppose.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm known as the owner of X and the employer in this town of 200 people. And in a week's time, what am I going to be known as? You know,
okay.
And so our job is not just technical, it's quite personal, it's quite psychological as well. And I think, you know, life after sale should not be an afterthought. It
okay,
really is important to think about it ahead of time.
And what are the other sort of big pitfalls that you come across?
So I would say they're legal. Some companies may not have done things particularly well. Maybe documents aren't done, or they're not signed, or agreements aren't in place, or they've run out, or something that they should have done, could have done, didn't do. Sometimes they'll break a deal, but they're normally just things that are annoyance that you need to sort before the buyer
right
will buy it. So getting your contracts in place, your customer contracts, your supplier contracts, your staff contracts, all of the things like that is really important. Property's a bit of a minefield. Tax, oh, you know, things like
that.
I
was going to ask about tax. Tell us about sort of tax implications.
Mm.
Where does that play a part?
Back in a few years ago, there was this thing that any entrepreneur listening will know about called Entrepreneur's Relief, which gave a huge benefit actually to entrepreneurs selling their businesses. You could basically make a whole load of money before you got taxed on it. I think it was as much as 10 million quid.
Okay.
And so it was a no-brainer that if somebody put a really good offer to you, you thought, well, actually, I've got to work the next 30 years to get that in my bank account. So yes, why not? Now the regime is not as generous. So you've only got £1 million before you have to start paying tax. But it's still a darn sight cheaper than taking it out as salary or bonuses and it's corporation tax to think about and dividends and that sort of thing. So tax can still work in the favour of the seller, if you will. You know, it's probably better to take it out as capital.
Right.
It's still in today's tax regime. But what I would say is it's rare, in my experience anyway, for if tax is the pure driver for why a business owner wants to sell, it doesn't normally inspire buyers to buy it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You've
yeah,
got to have something about the business itself,
of
not
course,
just the
it's
tax
good, it's,
benefit.
It sounds as if it's all about everything falling into place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's holistic.
And actually, so this is something that comes up quite a lot within sort of business circles, is thinking about the exit strategy sort of almost as soon as you start.
Yeah, I've heard that actually. And it's probably good advice if you've got that kind of 10-year plan in mind.
Right.
There's absolutely no harm in starting something not knowing where it's going to end.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I think I was chatting to somebody earlier today, actually, who knows exactly what he wants to build the business to in terms of the financial shape of it and the parameters. He wants, you know, 10 plus million ultimately out of a sale. Therefore, we're at A now. We need to be at B in order to get that. And I said, well, yeah, but what else are you going to do to make this a business, a saleable one?
Did he have the answers?
No, he hadn't thought about it, right? So all he's got in his mind is a calculation. Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything if your business is not attractive or there's things in the way of getting it bought. there are some pretty, you know, nasty clauses in contracts that we come across where, say, you've got a big customer and that customer can actually, it's called a change of control clause.
Right.
So basically, if you decide you want to sell the business, you've got to get that customer's permission.
Right. Because they can leave at that point and therefore they are not a customer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So best not to do those. But if you have done, if you have got those clauses, then let's at least be aware of it. Let's not let crop up within, you know, 4 weeks of completion or whatever. And let's do something to make sure that that isn't the risk it could be perceived to be by doing something different with that customer. I think it's just all about having the right advice around you and knowing what's important. And I've got no reason to suggest why people should know this stuff. You might think, well, that's common sense, isn't it? But when you're running a business and all you really care about is keeping that on the rails and delivering your strategic plan and the rest of it, in our experience, very few people put that through an exit lens.
In your experience, so the exit lens, it's a really good thing to think about. Should you be doing that sort of yearly or monthly?
It depends how dynamic and fast changing your business is, I would suggest. I would put that lens on any big decision.
Yeah.
So it's not like an annual event that you say, right, let's consider what we're doing, what we've done. That may be appropriate, but every time you make a big decision, think about, okay, what impact could this have on the appetite for my business or the type of deal I might get out, you know, and is this the right time to be doing it? So for instance, a lot of companies come to us that want to sell that have just made an acquisition.
Okay.
And my advice would be, if you're really thinking about selling in a year's time, I wouldn't really think about making an acquisition 12 months because the buyer is going to do exactly the same treatment on that deal as he is on your own deal, you know, because it's like they want to go through everything again.
Yes.
Because it's not really part of the business yet. It's still got some hangover from the agreement you made with it. And we see that a fair bit. You know, a tiny acquisition on that scientific deal 12 months before took up an inordinate amount of focus on an 80 million deal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there was a lot of stuff that carried over into the new world. And so I just think you've got to think about these things with a longer-term exit thing in mind and just ask, is this sensible? It may well be. It may well double the value of the business if you've got that. And in that particular case, it was worth doing because it captured some technology that they wanted as part of their overall sale. But it just comes with some challenges if you do it that close to the next deal, as it were.
We've talked about what you should do. But just quickly, I want to ask about any sort of things that you shouldn't do. Do you have any examples of a business that's come to you and you just keep coming across things and thinking, this isn't ready?
That sort of sinking feeling, every stone you unturn has some sort of creature under it. Yeah, so yeah, I have got plenty of those examples and, you know, sort of isolated captures. When you put them all together, you have got a bit of a horror story.
Right. So, give us one of those businesses. Yeah. Tell us about one of those.
And it's more about the decisions the owners made as opposed to the nature of the business itself.
Right.
Most of the clients we take on have got a profile that would indicate that they're going to be worth the sort of sum of money that we specialise in. Right?
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with the business per se, but some of the things they've done. So one of the things, and again, some of your listeners will recognise that there is this tax planning scheme, which was all the rage a few years ago, that made sense at the time. But effectively, the Inland Revenue caught up with it. It's the Jimmy Carr type of stuff.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's where you bought into a film company with Gary Barlow, right?
or whatever it was blooming close to the wind. You know?
Yes.
And the revenue, I think it caught everybody out because I'm not a tax expert, but my understanding is the revenue said, right, you lot, we're going to retrospectively change the legislation. So whatever you did, you broke the law.
Okay.
Even though the law didn't exist at the time. And that caught everybody out. You can't blame the entrepreneurs for doing this. You know, everybody wants to pay as little tax as possible. But having done that, that's the first stone you unturn. I'll flip. We've got a liability to the Inland Revenue, which is so much more than the entrepreneur really thinks it probably is.
Uh-huh.
And the buyer's not going to pay any of that, obviously. You know, so you think, okay, well, we need to ascertain what it really is.
Yeah.
Take the entrepreneur through that pain barrier. Have we still got a deal to do, or has he got to wait a few more years? So that's one thing. Recent example, it just sounds amazing even hearing me say this, but that we were within a few days of completing something, and the client let it be known, and we didn't know this, the client let it be known that a family member was operating a very, very similar business under the same name.
Ooh.
Within a few sort of doors on the same industrial business park. And they didn't talk to each other. There had obviously been a fallout and the rest of it. And so again, you think about it as a why didn't you say that? You know, why did you let us know that now?
Could have told me that 2 years ago.
Exactly. And the lawyers had also asked all the right questions and everything. Yeah. But it's just this one innocuous question that came out, and they thought it would, oh yeah, well, there is that, of course. You know, and you think, oh, flipping heck. And so you can imagine as a buyer, you're going to spend all this money and there's somebody trading with the same name down the road that hates your guts. You know, it's like, oh, come on. So that's a stupid thing.
That didn't happen, I'm presuming. That sale didn't go through.
Not yet.
With either of the businesses.
Yeah, yeah. So, what else is there? I mentioned properties and minefield. If you get that wrong, there are all sorts of traps, things like making good, like dilapidations, they call it. Just liabilities that accrued that you haven't really realised or provisioned for, and all of a sudden you've got to get out of this property and there's huge amounts of money. And yeah, just things that come and bite you in the bum, as they say, you know, things that had you known now what you should have known then, you'd have done something about. And it's always these last minute things that are the worst things. And that's why we, in particular, work with the lawyers, just combing, mining these businesses to sweep for mines, you know, and make sure that there's nothing that blows up in your face when everybody's focused on getting the deal done, and all of a sudden it just, you know. So that the name of the game is to do all of that stuff, make sure that everything is as it seems, and present something that you can deliver.
Thank you so much for that, Jonathan. Absolutely fascinating. Really, really interesting.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Cognito podcast. For more interesting insight from Cognito, head over to morebarlow.co.uk/cognito, where we've crafted and curated a range of articles, podcasts and videos on subjects we think you'll enjoy, find interesting, and hopefully inspiring too. Thank you for listening.